Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Text 51551. Drive Time on RTE Radio 1.
You're very welcome back to the programme. This morning at 11 o'clock, classrooms all around the country fell silent as a mark of respect to Aisling Murphy. This evening, many parents may find themselves facing tricky conversations with their children about the events surrounding her death. So what is the most helpful way to talk to children about a tragedy such as this one? Joanna Fortune is a psychotherapist. She specialises in child and adolescent psychotherapy and is the author of 15-Minute Parenting and joins me now to discuss this further. Joanna, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks for having me, Cormac.
As I say, parents up and down the country may find themselves in this position this evening. So how should they approach something so complex and so sad?
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what it is. It's really sad for all of us. And I think that's what, you know, has been shared over the last week since this awful news was broken, is this collective sharing and grieving. And I think that's always a good place to start, that before we explore and invite the sharing of feelings from our children, that we check in with our own feelings about it, always being aware that our children will take their social, emotional, behavioral cues from us. And that doesn't mean, you know, that we should suppress our feelings or deny our feelings, but that we should check in and know, how am I feeling about this? And am I comfortable sharing some of that with my child in a developmentally appropriate way? And that's always crucial with this, because there isn't a prescriptive language or a script that you can follow for all children of a certain age, because all of our children are different. So always attend to developmental age over chronological.
So there's no prescriptive way or method of talking to a child about a tragic case or a story like this, is there? So how do you go about doing it then? Because maybe an awful lot of parents feel they don't have the tools to do so, to approach it.
Oh, absolutely. And it's not like, you know, you're presented with a script to do this. And these are things that we cannot predict, and we don't even imagine we'll ever have to have conversations with our children about it. So, I mean, generally speaking, and I do mean generally, I don't want anyone thinking, well, my child's in that age, I'll definitely follow this. But when children are young in that early childhood stage, and particularly under seven, Cormac, we generally would advise avoiding exposure to this kind of news as much as is possible. And I say that because, you know, sometimes you can be sitting in the car listening to something and something pops on and they've heard something or gleaned something, or they walk into a room when you've been having an adult conversation and they've overheard a nugget of what you were saying. Only bring it up if they do know something.
Under seven,
so that you,
mean?
You can clarify it. Exactly, in okay. early childhood. And you do want to simplify your message about that, but be open and honest as well. And always avoid ambivalent language. Be very clear about what you're saying, because young children will fill in the gaps themselves with what they imagine the words mean.
So should you say, and let's talk about over sevens now, should you say,
okay, yeah,
you are feeling sad because, you are going through grief because, or should you just leave it more general and up to them to describe what's happening?
It's a little bit of both, to be honest with you. I would avoid telling children how they feel, because especially when they're over seven to 12 years old, they're well able to tell us how they feel. And so it's about wait and see what they know. Check in, you know, have you heard about anything on the news or anything said in school? Tell me what you know about it. I'm wondering how you feel about it, because that allows you to see, well, where are they at with it? Maybe they know more than we think they do, or less. Mm-hmm. Clarify if there's any misinformation and reassure them by talking and listening. It's not just about us saying, oh gosh, I've really prepared myself to have this difficult conversation. We take a deep breath and we, you know, give them too much information, stuff they haven't asked us for. So be honest but appropriate, you know, and that's really, and moving into teenage years, I would assume they know, mm-hmm. but don't assume they know everything. Don't assume there aren't gaps. So still go back and have that conversation with them in teenage years, get them talking, listen, and offer lots of comfort. But also it's really important that we offer hope, that whatever language we use, and, you know, like, I don't want to suggest this as a script, but you want to simplify with, even beyond this event, if it was any other event, and there, these are rare events, thankfully, but they do occur, that someone who was very, very angry or very, very confused or made a really bad choice, they hurt another person. And the hurt was so bad that it meant that other person died. And the Gardaí are working hard to keep everyone safe, because you want to offer hope and reassurance when we're having these conversations with children.
And as you say, keep the message quite simple and the language simple as well. What if the child has stood in silence along with the other children in school today as a mark of respect for poor Aisling Murphy, comes home but doesn't want to talk about it, and you sense there's a change in mood in the child? How should you approach that one?
I would take that change in behaviour as a communication of what they're feeling. It can be very difficult for children to find the words to express what's going on, but behaviour can be a very effective way for them to do that. So if you see a marked change in your child's behaviour, or you notice their mood is low, or they're not as engaged or talkative as they have been, move to comfort them. Let them know that you see, you know, you can invite, certainly go, "I've noticed that you're very quiet today, and I'm wondering how was your day, or is there anything that I can help you with?" And if they shrug or say no, you can reframe that and say, "So I'm hearing you say this is not the right time to talk about this, but just so you know, you can always talk to me about it. And for now, why don't we watch their favorite TV show, have a snack, sit on the sofa and have a cuddle?" Move to offer nurture and comfort, because in that way you are responding to their dysregulation. You are responding to their struggle, but you're doing it in a doing the communication rather than speaking it way. And that can be very effective for children.
Okay. So to let the child know you're there as well, whenever he or she wants to
be available. Yeah.
Okay. That's really, really great advice. Can I ask you another one? Because some parents may decide not to talk to their children about this at all. I mean, is that equally prudent?
Well, it really depends on what are you not saying. If you're not saying something they don't know, then you're not withholding anything from them. And again, I'm thinking if they're very young and you've decided, "I don't want my under 7-year-old hearing this information," and you can be sure they haven't, then that is a parental choice and decision, and that's okay. Sometimes when there is a blanket coverage of a news story, or there can be, and certainly something that has come up for me already with the child is a question about, "What has this got to do with running?" because of hashtags and memes online and things about running. And, you know, so sometimes you have to come in and go, "Oh, actually, it wasn't about running. It was about something that happened." And you may have to clarify. If you feel, "Look, my child isn't showing any signs of distress. They don't seem to know anything about this. I've been really cautious at home that they're not exposed to it, and they're really young," then your parental choice to not talk about it with them is a valid one. If they show you an indication that they know something, or that they are feeling something, and you're like, "Okay, maybe beyond my control, they have been exposed to something of this news," then as a parent, you are the best person to be there and clarify and reassure and make sure that they're not living alone with that.
Isn't there a danger, or a fear, I should say, Joanne, that if you don't talk to your child about it? I was very impressed by Judy Bracken and Lorraine Mahon. They were talking earlier on from County Offaly, and they were helping children there process or navigate the emotion. So if an adult or a parent decides not to talk to their child about this, that the child will have discussions with other children on the schoolyard, and maybe 2 6-year-olds talking about very complex grief is not a good idea.
Oh, no, 100%. And I think while as parents we can say, "Look, I've made sure they didn't hear," we can't make sure they haven't heard it from another child. And that's really what I mean about attune to any changes or any questions or any, you know, if your child suddenly says, "Oh, I'm wondering about," and you're like, "Wait, where did that come from?" Pursue that. Be the voice. Be the one that they come to with those questions, because you are best placed to reassure, clarify, correct any misinformation, but ultimately to provide reassurance and hope and reframe this in a way that this is terrible and really sad. It's rare and you are safe. You know, and you can always bring those thoughts and feelings to me, not your peers in school, ideally.
Joanna, thanks a million, because that's really good advice. And I know it's a difficult one for an awful lot of parents up and down the country today. And they're trying to do the right thing by their parents, and also to mark the passing of Aisling Murphy respectfully as well. So thank you very much indeed for that. Psychotherapist and author Joanna Fortune, Mila Buíochas.